Welcome, Dungeon Delvers and Damage Dealers, to D&D and Big D, where we put the D in D&D. We're a group of seasoned folks who play through published adventures and review them in a postmortem. Stay tuned as we will also be inviting special guest PCs from other podcasts, content creators, and many other nerd celebrities out there. Hey everyone, Dungeon Meister Z here, also known as Stunt Monkey Z. For this episode, we're continuing with Google 13, an Eberron adventure written and DM'd by Christian Eichhorn. And as returning PCs, we also have Jordan from Modified Role, Andrea Coffey, the Norwegian cosplayer, and myself, Stunt Monkey Z. In the last episode, Draken, Ulna, and Olette began investigating a mysterious lab. They were on their way to find a power source to get the place back online. Let's see how far they get this time as we listen to Google 13, written by Christian Eichhorn.
Wrong time of the day.
Hey!
My notes, and I have my dice, and I have a pen.
All the essentials.
Absolutely. Someone else found their dice as well.
As you say, that's another dice goblin. See, I always prepare before turning the mic on by picking out the ones I need, but I've got my sack here with me just in case.
Yeah.
I have mine laid out, but the previous ones betrayed me, so I had to change the mic.
I just real quick, I apologize. I'm online now.
Welcome.
Finally.
Hello.
Hey. Yeah, as the only IT person in the family, I have to get everybody online. And apparently today is the day that everyone decided, hey, we're going to have class for all the kids. And then also my wife as well. She's one of the leading scientists and a lot of research that's going on for what she does. So she's having a lead meeting herself. And I'm having to get everybody online. I'm like, oh, goodness. So I'm trying to rush.
Do you even have enough? Is your connection good enough for all of this?
We'll find out.
I was going to say, if there's an issue and we're affecting like one of the leading scientists, I think we might have to buy out for a while.
Yeah. We're not that important.
Well, I mean, priorities, you know, that's what it's all about, really.
Yeah, exactly. I think the last I remember is that previously Oled threw a fireball down into a suspect, probably monster layer, which promptly exploded and singed Alna's eyebrows.
My eyebrows are gone, fuckers.
Yep.
Could I cast prestidigitation to make the eyebrows grow back?
They make me permanently look angry.
Well, no.
Yeah, you don't make eyebrows go back. You just prestidigitation permanent marker.
Yeah. I mean, you could. I don't know if you have mending, but you could pull out a few hairs and mend them back on.
Oh, no, mending I do not have.
Well, too
Sorry.
Bad.
Yeah.
I'll just find some like soot or something and just like draw them on.
I mean, there was an explosion. There's going to be plenty of soot around.
I'll just like scrape some off my armor. And just be like, did my makeup, you know. Like we girls do.
Your latest or your last objective was to reactivate the power source of the facility. And so Oled found the manual and determined that there are various functions to the machine on the first level, but they aren't working because the power's out.
Yeah.
So,
correct.
We have to go back up again. Decided?
Oh no, we have to go further down to find the power source.
Oh, yeah.
We're trying to go further down to find the generators or whatever.
And from where you are, you're on the second level, and the shaft hasn't ended yet, but everybody with dark vision could see that you looked down below and you saw the proper floor, and on the floor there were there's debris, like metal debris.
That's probably for me. Sorry about that.
Did you say that's at like the bottom of the shaft, or just like on the level we're on now?
No, you are on the second level, and when you rope down to the second level, you could look down additional 50 feet, and you saw the bottom of the shaft from where you're now. The metal debris was completely covered with stone and rubble and burning shit.
All right, so are we heading further down again then?
Sounds like it.
I believe so.
Cover our noses if it's still burning down there.
Yeah, that would be prudent.
Yep.
You float on a rope.
Hey, can I go down there first? I want to do something. I want to try something real quick.
Be my guest.
Be our guest.
At our service, to the turf.
All right, so do I just go ahead and rope down? Should I do athletics, acrobatics?
No. Easy
okay.
enough.
Alrighty, so I rope myself down, and as I'm coming down, I'd like to do a real quick perception check.
All right.
Just want to see if there's anything that I immediately see or oppose of any danger, or exactly how much fire and smoke do I see here.
All right. Roll the perception check.
Perception is 17.
17. Okay. So you're standing on the ground, basically the end of the shaft. Mm-hmm. There are three corridors accessible. To the north is the corridor which leads into the room you put the fireball in. And there is still some burning going on in there. And yeah, everything in there is just blasted. To the south, you see a corridor which opens up to several, let's say, further corridors. It looks like there are six small rooms to the south. And to the east, it looks similar. There are also six small rooms. And at the end of the corridor, there are iron doors like you encountered on the entrance of the facility. As in, probably there's another shaft behind this door, maybe. And with your perception check, you also hear strange sounds coming from the southern corridor. It sounds a bit like clicking sounds.
Okay. Do I smell any strange gas?
Well, you smell burning manure.
Oh, okay. This is pretty much on par with the old ranch.
It's like, it smells like home.
Now, in the room where I casted the fireball, mm-hmm. is it like an overwhelming amount of fire there, or is it just...
It's not too bad. There are like pockets of fire, but easy enough to pass through. There's no danger from the fire there.
I'm going to yell down, is it safe to come down?
All clear. Just land where I landed. I yell back to everyone.
I jump on him.
Okay.
He said land where he landed.
I'd like to roll an athletics check to see if I can't catch him on my shoulders.
Good.
I'll climb carefully down.
I mean, I don't leap from a floor above him. I clamber down the rope and then drop on top of him.
All right, so that is a 16.
So you're basically trying to catch him?
Brace for the impact, yes.
Yeah, okay. Boy, what you're a human. I mean, do you want to hurt him, or...?
No, I'm literally just trying to irritate. Like, when I say, like, I drop down from the rope, I'm probably about a foot or so above him.
Okay, oh, good. Yeah. So you're now piggybacking him.
Yeah, yes. Pretty much.
Yeah, he catches you, and...
I'm holding on by the horns.
You are now conjoined like a Japanese battle robot.
Yes, I have taken both the proverbial and literal bull by the horns.
I'm going to laugh slowly to myself and then just like shake my head as I make my way down. Idiots.
Well, get along, cowboy.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Can I have to cast magic missile right now? No.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
Okay, so I relay the information about the fireball room, the smell of burning manure. I relay the information about the east corridor with the six doors and the iron door, and then the southern corridor with the clicking and the six rooms. Now, at the south corridor, do I still keep seeing it go further in, or do I just see the six doors and then there's just a wall there?
Exactly, yep.
Okay.
And one thing I forgot to add, sorry. To the north, the corridor with the burning manure, you can also see that there's another corridor continuing, and you see a lit room which contains there's also some sort of machine standing there.
Okay, and that's also down that way, so there's like three corridors and then another corridor, or is it...
No, to the north is the corridor which leads into the room with the burning manure, and essentially another corridor goes from the burning manure room to the north into another room with a machine. Kind of.
Okay, and I can see that from here.
Yeah, exactly, because the room to the double north is illuminated by red lighting.
Got it. Everyone, I think this might be our best course of action, seeing as how I've given us a little bit of breathing room. Just hold your breath.
I'm going to see if I have some spare fabric to tie around my mouth.
I clamber down, just, I've smelled worse.
Yeah, you in the morning.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, sure. Let's check out this weird north room.
All right.
Okay, well, I thought there was going to be a bigger fire here, and I was going to cast Gust of Wind to clear it all out, but never mind.
No, it's not bad. It's, like I said, most of the content was incinerated immediately. So you make your way north, and the corridor you are entering is, how do I say, the iron walls are completely gone, and there was a huge cave-in at this location. Looking behind you, the stone rubble and burning manure in the shaft probably result from this corridor being completely blown out by the explosion. So you enter the manure room, and you see that in this room there are several tunnels leading out of it, going to the sides, essentially, which are now also covered in debris and dirt.
The tunnels look natural or man-made?
They look... Make a nature check.
Can I look around to see if there's anything dead now, just like... any weird animals?
Make a perception check.
I got a 15 plus 7, so 22.
Wow. Yeah, you ascertain that these tunnels were dug out by animals. You see claw marks all around.
These tunnels have been dug by something living.
Or was living.
I got a 21 on my perception check.
Whoa. You use your ears, your sharp elven ears, and you hear like quite squeaking noises from a few of those tunnels. And yeah, that's probably wounded animals like laying around in there somewhere.
Well, if they're still in there, they ain't happy.
Is the sound coming closer, or is it just staying away from us?
No, it sounds like the death throes of some sort of creature, okay. Not moving.
Would I be able to do a history check or an investigation check to find out if I've ever read about burrowing creatures this deep underground that goes after metal?
No, sorry, yeah, the walls in here aren't metal.
I see. All right.
Yeah, they burrowed into the stone. Yeah, I mean, I would say Drakenforge, with his role, he could take a guess already, and he would say there are creatures which can do this, like exotic ones, super dangerous exotic ones, but also very basic ones, just like giant badgers or something could easily do this, or giant rats.
Got it. All right, never mind then.
Is there any dead animals in sight that we could like harvest something from?
I mean, you wanna explore the tunnels?
I would like to.
Not in this room, but you heard them in the tunnels, so you would have to take a look into the tunnels.
Okay, right. And I can't, even if I just peer slightly from afar into the tunnels, I can't see anything? Just darkness?
Well, no, I mean, you can see in the dark, so yeah. Let's say you have a look around, you see some kind of animal which looks not good. Like, pretty severe burns.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's almost not recognizable what it is.
Yay for Fireball.
Well, guys, well done.
Yes.
I heard almost. I'd like to give it a go.
Yeah. So, make another nature check.
That is a 2 plus 7, a 9.
Yeah, that's some kind of maybe a pick or something.
Oh.
If I do a nature check, I got a 19.
Yeah, okay, so you take a closer look. Like I said, it's hard to discern what this thing is, but what you can tell is that it's not something you've seen before. It looks like a hybrid of a mole and a rat. So it has like the usual mole paws and a rat head and rat tail.
Okay. Doesn't seem valuable, so I'm not too interested in it.
Okay.
Are you guys interested in it?
I mean, it's just a pig.
I look around and I smell a rat.
Half rat.
I don't know. Should we just continue on to the this machine room up ahead?
Yep, sounds like that's where we want to go.
Alrighty.
And hopefully by then, if this creature dies by the time we come back, we can just, you know, take some of the meat off.
Burnt meat.
No sense in wasting good meat.
True.
All right, so you have a look into the northern corridor, and yeah, as I already told you, you see a machine, and it's covered in smoldering manure, and there's also stony debris inside. Yeah, you would have to go into, like, really have a look around.
Yeah, I'll head in.
I'll follow behind.
Yeah, I'll head in too.
Good. So, yeah, there's this machine, and you can see at certain places there are crystals set into the machine, which are clamped into metal clamps, and there are several missing. There are iron clamps without crystals, and you see a few of those on the ground.
I pick them up and start putting them into the metal clamps that don't have the crystals.
I'm keeping an eye for anything that moves behind us, or I'm going to keep guard at it.
So you're trying to get this thing running. Problem is, some of the crystals are completely covered in dirt and buried by rubble.
Cast prestidigitation, remove the dirt.
Yeah, good call. You clean them up. And are you proficient in Arcana?
Yes, I am.
Alrighty. Can you roll me an Arcana check with advantage?
Yes. First one. Oh, man. That's only a 24. Hold on. Let's see if I can get higher. And the next one's an 18.
All right. Yeah. That's pretty basic stuff for you. There's just not much depth to what you have to do. You put the crystals inside. Once everything is set in, the machine comes online, tries to boot up, but you notice that there are several upper crystals flaring up, and you fiddle around with them a bit to tune the machine. Like the voice in the beginning said, you're basically calibrating it, and you get it in running order. It powers up completely, and it purrs like a kitten.
Grabbing the crystals by the horns. Okay. Do we want to go back up first, or do we want to keep exploring the tunnels down here? What do we want to do?
Well, should we have a little peek and see if we can find out what these corridors contain? I mean, the other ones were labeled, so...
I say, sure, let's do that. I would say let's head over to the southern corridor, because whatever that clicking sound was, would I know that that's the same clicking that I heard on the second floor?
No, this sounded different.
Okay.
Yeah, but you could roll a nature check if you want.
Okay, I'll do that real quick. Man, I have such a bookworm kind of pull here. Yeah, and I really must not know my nature, because that was a natural one.
Oh, nice. Yeah. you are certain that you've heard these kinds of noises before, and they are usually caused by bombs.
Oh. Be very, very careful, everybody. Watch where you step. I think there might be bombs down here.
Really?
I mean, there are. I'm carrying them.
Are you the ticking noise we're hearing? Shit. Throwing up our game.
So I guess there might be more bombs.
Going to the southern
Let's go.
Corridor? God damn it.
Sorry.
Going to the southern corridor, you see the label, which says Living Quarters.
Ooh. So we might find another machine guide.
Here's hoping. Lead the way.
I lead the way.
Could you all please give me your dexterity modifier?
Dexterity modifier?
Mind you, I'm all the way in the back by the shaft, too, you know. So.
Yeah, it's okay.
My dexterity is +3.
Mm-hmm.
+1.
Mm-hmm.
+2.
All right, all good. So you head into the southern living quarters, have a look around. You check the rooms, and these rooms are like furnished. There's furniture inside, like there's a bed and desk and chairs, but everything is rusted and barely usable. You check each room, and in the last room, you notice that there's a...
Do you see a bomb?
Come again?
There's no bomb?
I don't see any bombs.
Okay, because I heard a clicking sounded like a bomb.
Okay. I'm going to look around paranoid.
Alna and Trocken, can you also roll me a perception check now that he's alerting you to the bomb?
Yeah. That is a 5 + 3 and 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't hear anything?
I don't hear anything.
I got 13.
13. Yeah, yeah, you are also not aware that there's anything clicking here.
Okay. Happily going to continue then, I suppose.
I take a few steps back.
Okay, so Trocken and Alna continue?
Yep.
Good.
I'm going in, I'm looking around.
Yeah, you have a look in every room, and the last room, which faces to the east, you notice that the wall in the room is broken. There's stone rubble lying on the ground, and it leads into a small cave.
Did you guys find a bomb?
Not yet.
We found a cave.
Did the bomb roll down the cave?
If you don't shut up, I'm going to let one of my bombs off.
Why would you do that? You're going to waste a bomb on yourself.
I start tossing a bomb in the air.
I start tossing my mage hand in the air, too.
Like this?
I stick my head in the cave.
Oh, all this right. Is the weirdest fucking pissing concert I've witnessed.
You stick your head in the cave, and you notice a giant scorpion going about its business on a smoldering mole rat corpse, and he's digging in and clicking with his clams, and he's super happy.
I look back. I look back at you, Alna, with a massive grin on my face.
I'm going to shake my head, just like, no.
I'm going to pull a bomb off my bandolier.
All right.
I am backing away as quickly and quietly as I can.
I prime it with my incendiary reagent, and I huck a bomb at it.
Nice.
Well, that would be a nat 20.
Oh.
Whoa. But I did say I was using an incendiary grenade, which actually has lower damage. But by adding a thickening reagent to your bomb's explosive contents, you can change it into an incendiary bomb. An incendiary bomb has a D6 fire damage. Additionally, the area of the blast radius is engulfed in flames, which persists until the beginning of your next turn. Flammable objects in the area that aren't being worn or carried are ignited, and any creature that ends its turn in the area takes half of the bomb's damage.
Jeez Louise.
So for
I'm
now,
I'm so glad I moved away.
Yes.
So for now, it is 2d6 damage because I critted.
Yeah.
That's a total of 11 fire damage.
Alrighty.
And the bomb's radius, a 5-foot radius, so everything in a 10-foot circle is now on fire around the scorpion.
All right, yeah, the scorpion is on fire. The mole rat he was eating is on fire. I mean, oh man, imagine a giant scorpion which is fucking pissed and on fire. And it's looking at you. So
oh,
at this point,
die.
I'm grinning.
Initiative.
Massive grin on my face.
Nice.
And that's another 20, so 21.
Jesus.
Yeah, I think
15 for me.
I think I've worked out which of my two dice is the better one for rolling with.
Clearly.
Okay, what does Oled have?
That is a 13.
13, alrighty. Okay, I have to check my stuff here. No. Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, then Drogn is on top.
All right, I'm just going to throw another bomb at him. Hey, so what sort of size is the cave?
It's quite small.
All right, just because I've realized I probably should have specified my range on a bomb is pretty small.
Yeah, you were around, let's say, 30 feet away from it.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, 30 feet is my range, so that's fine.
Already, yeah. And that's also the extent of the cave. It's like 30 feet long and 20 feet wide.
Okay, and what sort of size is the hole in the room we're in currently?
5 feet wide.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. What size is a scorpion?
It's, yeah, that's a big one. It's
about 5 feet wide?
Yeah, it's about 5 feet wide. Yeah, of course, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, that is perfectly fine. All right, I am going to hock a bomb. That is a 17 plus 7, or 24.
That hits.
So that is then 2d10 plus 4 fire damage. So that is a total of 13 plus 4 is 17 fire damage.
17, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, now I'm cackling madly.
This thing doesn't look good.
What's so funny? Is there a funny joke?
All you hear from the far end is like, I'll have your claws next.
Yeah, there are several armor plates which would fly away from it and exposing weak flesh beneath. Then it's Alna's turn.
Can I see this giant giant scorpion?
I mean, if you look above Strahd's shoulder, yeah.
Yeah, so am I within 30 feet range of it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll cast my infestation cantrip at it.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
So it has to take, make a constitution saving throw, or it will take 2d6 poison damage.
That is a 14.
Bugger. Constitution is 11.
Ooh. Okay, so yeah, you throw a few fleas at it, but the fleas, there's no hair and they can't stick on it, and yeah, it shakes them off.
It was worth a try.
It's the scorpion's time, whose name is Mr. Scorpio, by the way.
Oh, sorry, I forgot because I got distracted with Oliot yelling at me, but I've stepped back into the... I've stepped away from the hole so it can't see me.
So
I'm just like, I'm far enough back that I can see the hole, but I'm just not in the hole currently.
So what you're saying is that Alna is closest to the scorpion?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
I mean, she could always move away after casting her spell. It's still her turn.
Yeah, if I'm at the front, I'm moving back, because I'm the only one so far who's taken damage.
Okay. So how far are you guys running away?
I just moved 15 feet.
I'll move behind the dragon. Be my meat shield.
I'm way over by the door. Right. I don't know what's going on.
No, you have no clue.
Yeah, as I step back, I look over at Oliot and say, here it comes!
Yeah, so it runs up to Draken and it's pissed, but do you have to roll for damage again somehow? Because you said it's still it's only, maybe?
It's only if it ends its turn in the flaming area, so because it didn't end its turn there, it's not going to take any damage.
Okay, good. Yeah, so the burning scorpion runs at you and it's fucking pissed. And it puts its claws around your body and squeezes. And an 18 hits, I guess.
Oh, the 18 just hits.
Nice. So first of all, you are now stuck in its claw. You're automatically grappled. And you get 6 bludgeoning damage.
6, okay, that's not bad.
This was the left claw. Now comes the right claw. It was going for your neck, but it doesn't hit. But now there's still the stinger, which comes flying and tries to hit you in the eyeball. Yeah, shit, that's a 17.
Oh, that is my armor class. Meets beats.
Oh, so it hits.
Yeah.
Yes! Damn it! Yes! So first of all, you get a stinger in the eye, which is... Yeah, that's 10 piercing damage.
Damn! Alright.
And then I need you to do a DC 12 constitution saving throw.
Oh, come on. Con is good. Yes! 8 plus 4 is 12.
Fuck! Okay, yeah. You feel the poison cursing through you, but you just power through it. That's not something which can hurt you. That's a scorpion's turn. Now it's Olate. You hear strange sounds.
Well, if you're at the end of the room, you'll have seen this thing burst through and attack me, and you'll see me cackling with laughter in its claws.
Okay, can I tell just how damaged the scorpion is?
Yeah, it doesn't look good. Like I said, its back is basically exposed, it's bleeding heavily, and it's still burning.
Well, since Draken, you know, he just pretty much ticked me off. He looks like he's got it all under control. I mean, honestly, what it is, I kind of have that herd mentality. If one of us gets injured, something awakens within me. And so I just decide to go after the scorpion with a goring rush.
Nice.
In a straight beeline right for the scorpion.
Oh my god. So what you're saying is, moo moo, motherfucker.
Moo, bitch, get out the way.
I'm going to attack with a goring rush with my horn, so that's a 1d6. And then, hold on, I guess I roll on a regular melee attack.
Yeah.
And that's going to be horns, here we go, with a plus 3, so that is a 14 to attack.
Wow. Okay, so you see the scorpion, the exposed part of his back, and you're going for it. In your blood rush, you gore right into the back. Usually you would have just be flung away by the armor plates, but luckily it was already critically wounded and you just, yeah, you're going in there. Roll damage.
Alrighty. So that's 1d6. And That's 2 damage. And it says here, my hammering horns. Immediately after I hit a creature with my melee attack as part of my attack action on my turn, I can use a bonus action to attempt to shove that target with my horns.
Yeah, you want to do this?
And yeah, let's see. It looks like you have to succeed on a DC 11 strength saving throw.
Mm-hmm.
Or push you 10 feet away, Scorpion Man.
No, he makes it. Mm-hmm. You try to lift it up and throw it away, but it's using its other claw to hold onto the frame of the wall and you can't move it. Then it would be Throckmorton's turn. You're still stuck in the claw and it hurts.
And so wait a minute. So let me get this right. So Draken's still attached to the scorpion, and now the scorpion is attached to my horn.
I mean, if you don't pull it out, yeah, you are basically now fused through the scorpion.
Okay, just making sure I had that visual.
I've been trying to search something, and I cannot find a fucking answer to it. But you can make an offhand attack as your bonus action, which doesn't add your extra damage. Can you make a bonus unarmed strike? Does it have to have a weapon, or can you make an offhand attack with just an unarmed strike?
I'm not 100% sure, but your first attack must be dealt with a light weapon. That's for sure, I think.
Okay, then probably not. So, does the scorpion look like it's nearly dead, or does it look like sort of like bloodied, or...
It looks like it's exactly half dead.
Okay, perfect. So you guys can see me cackling with laughter, and I say, I've got you right where I want you. And as I say that, flames start to lick around my jaw.
Oh my god.
And I bellow flame at this thing, trying to direct it slightly to the side so it doesn't hit Oleate, because I'm not a dick. This thing has to make 8 plus 4 plus 3, so 15. DC 15. Dex saving throw.
Yeah, it doesn't make it. You burn it.
Yes! Yes! So that's going to take 3d6 fire damage.
Whoa.
Oh, I rolled 2 ones. So that's 7. That's 7 fire damage as I belch and bellow flame all over it.
All right. Yeah, it's almost done.
It's getting crispy.
Then it would be Alna's turn, if you're ready. Finished.
Yeah, that's it. I can't do anything else.
And so the scorpion still has you?
Scorpion still has me. I didn't bother to try and get out.
Yeah, you would need to use your action to attempt an escape.
I don't care. I've got him right where I want him.
Okay.
Up close and personal.
So then now Alna sees this, for lack of a better word, human centipede chain of...
Oh, no.
He said it. He said it.
I am really debating my involvement in this now. I'm tormented if I'm going to try and hit the creature or if I'm going to try and heal.
The creature?
No, you guys. The creature! Fuck off. I'll see if I can thorn whip it,
mm-hmm.
which is just an attack against it. Let's see if I hit it. That's 14. I don't think that hits.
No, it hits because, like I said, the armor plates were blast away, so you also hit the exposed flesh. Roll damage.
Right, okay, so that's just 2d6, but, you know, it might do something. That is 8 points of damage.
8? Nice. You whip it.
I whip it.
Whip it good.
Whip it real good.
That's one action.
Correct.
And healing word I can do as a bonus action?
Well, is this formed with a spell?
It's a cantrip.
Oh yeah, then you can do a healing word as your action, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll direct a level 1 healing word towards Draken, because he seems to be the one who's probably in need of most help.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, roll it.
So that is... And it's just really a 1d4 because I don't have a spell modifier.
This is so awesome.
That's 2 points of healing.
Nice. Back up to 36.
So, the scorpion actually runs away.
I was going to say, the thing it's just picked up and tried to eat is literally just breathed flame all over it. I'm sure it's not happy.
Yeah, you in its claw.
Oh no.
It's starting to hightail it out of there.
Oh, it's taking me with it?
Yes.
Can it do that?
I think for half its movement, yeah.
Oh, wait.
Is it half its movement or is it 5 feet?
Hang on. Can I... the thorn whip, it says, if the creature is large or smaller,
yeah,
you pull the creature up to 10 feet closer to you.
You want to do this?
Well, if it's going to run away...
Well, I mean, you would have needed to do it in your turn four.
Yeah. Yeah, why the fuck not? I'll pull the 5 feet closer to me. Can I choose to do that?
Yeah, it's okay.
Right, so...
Since I'm piercing it with my horn... Well, yeah, wouldn't it technically... Wouldn't it be restrained?
Yeah.
And you were correct. It's half his movement speed.
Yeah, so it tries to run away, but Olaid and Alna, you get attacks of opportunity as it is trying to run away with Trogon in its claw.
All right, okay. I will use my scimitar then, I suppose.
Do I have a weapon?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I have a little quarterstaff and a little dagger. Oh, that's nice.
I mean, in absence of all, you could just horn it.
Yeah. Olna, go ahead.
Let's see if I hit it first. No, that's 9. I don't think I hit that.
Nope.
Damn it.
Olaid.
Reacting rather quickly, I decide to cast Chill Touch.
Okay, let's do it.
Alright, see, Chill Touch. I create a ghostly skeletal hand in the space of a creature within range. My range is 120 feet. Like a ranged spell attack. That's a natural 20.
Well then, roll for damage.
All right, on a hit, we see the creature takes 1d8 necrotic damage, and that's an 8.
Yeah, I mean, you can theory roll again since it's a critical.
Okay, and that's a 6.
Nice. So this thing turns around, Alna tries to slash its tendons, I guess. Doesn't hit, but as it's hightailing out of there, this hand appears and just chokes it to death slowly.
Brutal.
Yeah. Trogon, you put back on the ground, the claw opens, shudders, and the scorpion dies.
And I look at it, I'm so sorry. I went overboard, sorry.
I had that under control.
Well, I feel useless. Ugh. Does anyone need any healing? It's about the only thing I can clearly do.
I look around at everybody. Did anyone see the bomb yet?
Yeah, the clicking stopped.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to point to the dead thing and just be like, that was a ticking.
And I stop and I stare for a second. Oh, okay.
I just started investigating its body.
Mm-hmm. Are you proficient with poisonous kits by chance?
I'm proficient with herbalism kits and alchemical supplies.
Alchemical supplies. Alrighty. Yeah, you think you could maybe harness some of the poison from the stinger?
Ooh, I'd like to try that.
Yeah, without your alchemical stuff and make an...
Alchemist kit is intelligence, so that will be a 6, 18 plus 4 plus 3, so 25.
Yeah, that is more than enough. Yeah, you pull out a few, what's it called, the class chars?
Little vials?
Vials, exactly, thank you. Yeah, and you capture some of the poison. You can write down that you got 3 vials of basic poison.
Cool.
I have to look up what it does. I think you can coat your weapon, essentially, with it. Making your weapon deal poison damage, essentially.
Nice.
By the way, who actually got that potion of greater healing? Did we decide that? And who got the potion of potential poison?
I think I picked them both up because I was identifying them, so I think I'm currently carrying them.
Yeah, that sounds right, yeah.
I just wanted to check because I wrote down that we found them, but I didn't write down who took them.
So Trogon knows that if you coat your weapon with the poison, a creature hit next must make a DC 10 constitution saving throw or takes an additional 1d4 poison damage.
Lovely.
All right, well, that was fun.
How are we all doing health-wise, guys?
I might just pop one of the healing potions that I prepared before we set out, which is 2d4 plus 2, isn't it?
Correct.
Right, so that is 1 plus 3, so 4 plus 8 is 6. I have 6 more health, so I'm back at 42.
Nice.
So I just look around. You all see that dead mole thing over there? Jeez, what happened here?
The big one was eating it.
Yeah, that checks out. Okay. I'd like to investigate the room if at all possible. Check for any more manuals or, you know, flip over the...
Mm-hmm.
Just whatever I can, again, with my mage hand.
Yeah, make a perception check.
Alrighty. Perception, that is a 15.
You go through the rubble and everything, and there's also a corner with excrement, essentially. It's a bit disgusting, but with your mage hand, you go through it, and you find a pair of gloves, which look interesting.
I cast Prestidigitation on them.
Good choice.
Yes, thank you. And I put them on.
Good. All right. So let's just say you attune to them, mm-hmm. and those are gloves of missile snaring.
Ooh.
Yeah, let me read it to you. When a ranged weapon attack hits you, you can use your reaction to reduce the damage by 1d10 plus your dex modifier if you have a free hand.
Okay.
Yeah, and they look snazzy.
Ooh, on a scale of 1 to 10, how snazzy do they look?
9.
If I remember correctly, they look like something Michael Jackson would wear.
Well, that's just one away from Prince. I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
Actually, hold on, because I think they're purple, so it might actually be more Prince.
Oh, perfect.
You're living your best life.
Oh, I am.
If they're the ones that I remember, which I think they are.
I honestly don't even know how they look. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, they look better than my imagination.
Yeah, no, they look pretty fucking sweet.
So I'm kind of singing to myself, you don't have to be beautiful. Okay, everybody. Whenever y'all are ready, I'm ready to go.
Image in Discord if you want to see them.
I want to see them. Let's see. I want to imagine how snazzy you now look. Oh, yeah, Jesus.
So imagine a minotaur wearing those.
Oh, yes. But they'd have to be nice, big, and bulky, because they'd have to shape to my hand anyway. That's funny.
You're currently only wearing them on two fingers.
Yeah, in the beginning it was real hard, but as you pull them over, they increased in size, so they fit you perfectly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 7-foot guy wearing medium-sized gloves.
Just terrific. A thumb.
Love it. They look, wow, I like them.
Alrighty. You activated the power supply, so you could potentially go back to the control machine or continue exploring.
At this point, I'm getting very antsy about going back to the controlling machine for now. But if everybody wants to keep going down this other shaft.
No, I'm fine with going back, checking out the machine again.
If we can use the machine, we might know what things are before we go into them.
Yeah, fair point.
All right, let's go.
Okay.
We make our way back up to the machine somehow?
Yeah, no problem at all.
I'm sorry, so as we move forward, I'm just looking over the manual, just got my head stuck in the manual as much as possible, just reading along, enjoying myself here. I'm in my element.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to be like, hang on, watch your step.
All right, this is Dungeon Meister Z, also known as Stunt Monkey Z on Twitter, with your beer break. I know it's been a while since we released our last episode. In that time, there's been a lot going on in our personal lives, and I had to put the editing on pause. Mind you, we were still recording, just not so much editing. Check out our Twitter for more info on the latest summer projects we had going on. Oh, another fun fact, we finished recording the final episode of Google 13 a week after we recorded this episode, but due to a technical glitch, it somehow got deleted and was lost forever. But no worries, everyone banded together and re-recorded the final episode. Mr. Eichhorn even reconfigured it with an all-new different ending. As always, I gotta replenish my brew before I get back to the story. In the meantime, I want to talk about our sponsors. Dungeon Painter Studio is a very powerful map design tool for both the seasoned map maker and beginner's map sketcher. It comes with a lot of features that help you create your very own world maps, and remember that you can always try the online version before buying their highly affordable full version. Dungeon Painter Studio is available for purchase on Steam. Okie Dokie Dice. Their passion is to create a huge variety of special gaming dice sets for every player in every game. They will cover all your needs. Okie Dokie Dice. They are fun, they are crazy, and they love dice. Common Ground Games. It's the number one D&D place of downtown Dallas. If you live in the downtown Big D area and want to check out their store, go check out their Facebook page for more information at Common Ground Game Store and their website, BoardGamesDallas.com. Common Ground Games, because we all have the same common ground of playing games. Brickhouse Games. It's the number one premier D&D place of East Dallas. At Brickhouse Games, they challenge veteran PCs and guide new PCs. They specialize in trading card games, RPGs, and wargaming with custom tables and lots of space. You can check out more information on their Facebook at Brickhouse Games or check out their website, brickhousegaming.com.
And this week, we also have a new partner, RPG Dungeons Gaming Center. Located in the heart of North Dallas, RPG Dungeons offers four custom-built gaming tables with inset 55-inch digital displays and over 500 digital maps for use. They provide all types of 2D and 3D terrain for GMs and PCs to use, along with over 30 different battle maps. They also offer hundreds of hand-painted miniatures for GMs and players to use and purchase, and offer game sessions run by in-house GMs upon request. For more information, check out their website, rpgdungeons.com, and follow them on Twitter at rpgdungeons. What else? Oh yeah, before we started playing in this adventure, we were all talking about our different projects, and I got some good audio of Jordan talking about his sponsor, D&D Dice. Check it out.
Just to push Grady and D&D Dice a little bit more. So if you're looking to add something to your set, if you use the code ModifiedRule, you'll now get 10% off with our link. If you were to use our sponsor, D&D Dice, not only now would you get 10% off with our discount code, his metal sets come with 2D20s. He now also has specialized sets with, he calls them his level up sets. They come with 3D6s instead of 1.
Be sure to check out D&D Dice's website, dndice.co.uk, and take advantage of a Modified Rules discount. I think that's it from me. Next episode, we're concluding Google 13, and y'all definitely don't want to miss that one. But in the meantime, please don't forget to subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcast ear candy. Follow us on Twitter, leave us a review, tell your friends about us, and help us grow our brand. Well, that's all I got for this beer break. Thank you, Christian, Jordan, and Andrea, for making this project a reality. Now let's get back to the story.
To remind you about the manual, could you please tell me again your intelligence? I think it was 17, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So I will read again what you can do with the machine. You can activate the lighting completely. At the moment, it's at emergency lighting. You can activate the elevators, unlock the security doors, activate the ventilation, kill or release the test subject, or get a status report about the test subject. You can fiddle around with the guards. I will explain that in more detail when we come to it. You can activate the self-destruct sequence, and you can play the personal log. So yeah, you come back to the machine. It's now running under full steam. All the dials and gems and whatever, it's blinking and making beeping noises and such. And yeah, you can go nuts, basically.
Okay, so just, I know I missed one. I can control the lighting, elevators, security doors, test subjects, guards, self-destruct, and personal log. I know I'm missing one.
Yeah, ventilation.
Ventilation, that was the one.
I mean, wouldn't playing the personal log as a start be the best option first?
I would agree with you, but I would want to say lighting.
If you told me which button is a self-destruct, I'm looking at it. Very hard.
I'll say that it's the Warforged. Okay, so yeah, I want to hit the lights first.
Okay, yeah, you can activate the full lighting, basically.
Okay.
The lights flicker on, and there's no bright light. Everybody can see perfectly.
Okay, excellent.
I'm going to blink, but like, ow.
I'm so sorry. So sorry. next. So can you tell me more about the guards?
Yeah, the guardians. At the moment, they are deactivated. You can put the guards on standby, which means they listen to orders which a person says within 5 feet of them. You can put them on security duty, which means that you set a password and then they start a patrol and attack everybody who can't produce the correct password. Or you can set them on eradication when they will just kill everything.
Okay, so do I create the security password from here, or do I have to go individually to each of them?
No, you can insert it from there.
Okay, then I will put on there Draken Stupid Face, because nobody would ever guess that.
I should have looked at you.
It's not me, it's a security password. It's foolproof, I'm telling you.
Okay, yeah, then you're booting them up?
Yes.
All right, so immediately after you hit the button, the Warforged, which is standing in the room, you hear it and the cables which were attached to its chest and back, they fall down, and it comes online, looks around the room, approaches you, and says,
"The password."
Draken Stupid Face.
I'm pretty sure you said Stupid Dragon Face.
But I assume it was the correct password. It looks you in the eye, turns around, and continues its patrol, shambling through the room.
All right.
Yeah.
My goodness, I feel like such a nerd right now.
You are the nerd.
All right. So what do we want to do?
Maybe find out about the prisoners or creatures or whatever they're keeping.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. Let's go ahead and play that personal log, right?
Yeah. I mean, we can choose to release or kill test subjects. That's creepy.
So are you going for the log?
Yes, let's go for the log.
Okay, you start the log. Yeah, the artificial voice you heard before speaks again.
Accessing personal log. Decrypting. Error. Data corrupted. Initiating data recovery. 3% recovered. Initiating playback. Entry number 134.
A new batch of subjects arrived. As usual, the quality is subpar. We must extend our operations into the richer areas of Metrol. The dregs of society just won't do. Their bodies are already weakened due to the malnutrition and exposure. Most die within the hour, further hampering the laboratory operations.
Entry 247.
My ploy was a tremendous success. Setting up a resort not far from the laboratory and abducting the visitors netted us some fine specimen. One in particular is very promising. Supposedly, it was a famous war hero. I will focus my attention on subject 4415-XT in the immediate future.
Entry number 301.
I must leave this facility to oversee the construction of Gulgu 15. I'm certain to hand over the operation, but feel confident that the researchers can continue without my supervision. During the last few years, I have achieved great things here. However, I'm more than looking forward to the experiments planned in Gulgu 15. My hands tremble with excitement.
Those are all the logs that could be recovered.
Do we all hear those?
Yes, the artificial voice reads them.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, do we know any war heroes with hashtags 4415XT?
Make a history check.
Okay. Oh, no way. That was a 21.
21. No, you have never heard this particular identifier before. It sounds like a name maybe a Warforged could have, but most probably it's not a name. It's just like something you assign to a person.
Oh, it's barcode stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Would we know any stories about war heroes disappearing?
Ooh, good one.
Like if this was a war hero turned subject. I mean, would we have heard tales of some sort of war hero from the past just disappearing?
Mm-hmm. What was your history check total?
I didn't roll one.
No,
but
no,
I can.
Yeah. No, I meant Oled's history check.
Oh, 21.
Yeah.
Mine was 16.
Thinking about it, indeed, you did hear about a war hero which vanished still during the last war, a Syrian war hero, basically, who went by the name of Czech.
Just check.
No.
No, I was going to say, is that like Slovakian or?
No. His name is Czech Power.
Czech Power Levels.
Yes, this was the war hero which finished.
Czech Power.
his name was sung in all the legends.
Yeah, the Syrian. I mean, I don't know on which side you guys fought. Probably not on the side of Sire, because most of them died, but maybe you have. I don't know. This is something you can decide for yourself.
We all had his poster in our bedroom as kids, yeah, all right?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Famous Czech power. Was such a tragedy when he vanished.
Wow.
Everyone's heartbroken.
Yeah.
Love it.
Now I'm just picturing this as like weird war hero in like posters and bedrooms and shit.
I wish I was fucking rich, then I would immediately like commission one.
Greatness.
Oh, we can dream.
You can still interact with the elevators, the security doors, the ventilation, and the test subjects, and the self-destruct.
Not the sound strike, please.
Well, no, not yet. I want to see if we can't find check powers now. Okay, so we have the guardians on standby. Oh, no, they're patrolling now.
Correct. Mm.
Do we know where the test subjects would be kept? Have we seen any place that would keep them?
No.
No? Okay. Hmm.
But yeah, considering the test subjects, you can run a status report, kill them, or release them.
Okay, let's do the status report.
Alrighty. You hear the voice again, which says...
L1, subject 1, compromised. Subjects 2 to 10, released. L2, subjects 1 to 10, in stasis.
Ask it where L2 is.
Computer, where is L2?
Yeah, Olaid, you know that the voice isn't, like, you can't talk with it, but... And do you want to, like, shit trucking around?
Not yet. I'm waiting to see what Draken does.
Yeah, he's the one controlling the machine. I'm assuming he has to ask it.
Yeah, he asked it, but it doesn't answer.
I shrug. I'm not dumb. I'm an alchemist. I'm actually incredibly intelligent. I just don't know how this machine works.
Okay, I start pushing the levers and the buttons.
What's Draken's base intelligence?
My base intelligence is 18.
18? Oh my fucking god. Yeah, you are standing there like, yeah, he's doing fine, but yeah.
Yeah.
Like if anything, I'm the idiot because my base intelligence is 12.
Yeah, alchemy is an intelligence based.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Class.
You basically know what's going on.
So we're basically.
I'm the one standing here going, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I tinker more with like bombs and also like the whole xenobiology thing. So I'm more into creatures and stuff. So I don't know like machines like this. So I assume he knows how to work it now.
I do now.
He's the guy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Should we open security doors next and then have a look through those places?
I've played this archaic game called Halo, and you learn not to do that.
Well, if you say so.
Do we have...
We don't have a map. We don't know where anything is, apart from where we've already been.
Okay, so part of me doesn't want to get the ventilation going. Well, whatever it is, we want to keep it behind wherever they're going behind. So would it be unreasonable for us to go back and forth between this control station and down towards the next iron doors and test that out? Or should we just hit security doors and let loose whatever is here?
Well, I mean, we busted open one security door already, so I suppose we can just bust them up as we go, if that makes you more comfortable.
You know, it kind of does.
Yeah, all right. I'll follow your lead. I mean, I don't know this shit.
Wait, I'm leading?
Well, I'm not.
I sigh and leave the room.
Okay, follow him then.
Well, we follow him.
Alrighty.
We're going back down to those security doors, which were in the...
The lowest level?
Yeah, the lowest level.
We're going to the iron door.
What I would say is that you know that this is an elevator, and do you want to activate it?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yeah. So before going, you activate the elevator.
Okay.
And you head back down to the third level, head through the eastern living quarters, essentially. You pass rooms like you also saw in the south where the scorpion was. These rooms are totally rusted over. The furniture is just gone. Yeah.
Can I check those with my mage hand again? Just looking for more loot.
Yeah, make a perception check.
Perception, that is a 14.
It looks completely empty. It's just dirt and rubble and rust.
Okay, I relay that information to Ulna and Draken.
Cool. So safe to proceed to with this elevator?
Yeah. Since it's activated, a small panel on the side is lit, and no problem at all. You just open the doors like with a regular elevator, and there it is. You can step inside, and it only has one way, which is down.
Ooh, can we see how many floors it has?
Yeah, it's just one floor. Basically here, level 3, and then there's level 4, which is below.
Level 4 it is.
Is there bad elevator music playing now?
Well, Ooh. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, it rumbles a bit and it starts moving. You feel your gut shift inside you and doesn't take too long and it stops. The doors open again, and you look straight at one of those doors you encountered at the infirmary. And everything down here, by the way, looks awesome. There's no rust, mild discoloration maybe, but this looks intact, looks really good. And also the door you're currently looking at looks sturdy and strong, and the corridor continues to the left. And the corridor is extremely long to the south, and it leads to a staircase which leads further down, so you can't basically see what's at the end of it. Since you activated the lighting, everything is in bright light. If I remember correctly, you did not activate the ventilation, right?
No. Correct.
So what you're smelling is, it smells sour in here. And with every breath you take, your lungs burn. It physically hurts to breathe down here. It's not to the level that you're taking damage from it, but you're feeling a bit dizzy. You're definitely not at 100% at the moment.
Then I cast Gust of Wind.
Oh, perfect. So basically, you get a bit of the bad air away, but that's not permanent, essentially.
So I guess we should go back and turn on the ventilation system.
Sounds like a good idea.
Okay, then we will just like speed it up.
Yes.
You activate it and you come back down, and yeah, you cannot breathe freely.
All right. I did my job.
Looking down the corridor to the south, like I said, there's this one security door, which you immediately saw, which is intact, and there are, which you can already see, two corridors which are filled with rubble, completely caved in. And further down, there is one other corridor into a room you can't obviously see from here.
Right. You want to go down the corridor, or you want to open the security door?
Yeah, well, we didn't open up all the security doors upstairs, so
yeah.
So we want to go back upstairs.
Do you like riding this elevator thing, or?
He just likes the song.
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum.
Okay.
And tan and young and lovely.
Man, I can really imagine like the proper montage which would play here. Everybody just looks more and more angry if you go up and down.
Me and Alma look angry, but only just stood at the front going, bum, 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 bobbing his head.
Contemplating murder at this point.
So you're arriving back down for the second time, and now also the door stands open.
Oh no, oh shit.
And yeah, you hear a humming from the inside, comparable to like a refrigerator in the normal world. I don't know an Eberron comparison, so just imagine it.
Is your refrigerator running?
Oh, my God. Okay, could you please kick him?
He's a few countries away. It's a bit hard.
So, yeah. Do you want to go inside?
I'll head in first.
Okay.
I'll follow.
So you guys head inside, and you are greeted by one of those strange Warforged, which comes up to you and says,
"Password, please."
Dragon stupid face.
I chuckle.
Yeah.
I flex my claws.
I flex my mage hand. At this point, I just think it's a game.
So you take in the room. In the middle of the room, there's a desk. On this desk, there are dozens and dozens of bottles. All are empty except one. On the walls, there are 10 glass tanks filled with a green bubbling liquid, and in each glass tank there's a person. There are different races. There are humans, half elves, half orcs, a few gnomes, and mm-hmm. They are basically suspended. Their eyes are closed, and they all got a thing in their mouth. What's it called? A tube.
Like a respirator. Basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, something like this. You see a small control station, which looks a bit like the one you found upstairs, just 100th size. Yeah, and a small machine also on the far wall, a strange metal nozzle, essentially.
Do we see any of them missing?
No, everybody is accounted for. Oh, yeah, and I forgot one thing. The tanks are labeled. Let me just look quickly.
I was about to ask, is there any indication of what's in each of them?
Yep. It says 8415-PD through 8425-PD.
So none of the numbers match the ones that we heard from the recap upstairs or whatever?
Correct.
4415XT, yeah.
But do they look alive? Like, because some were released and some were just in stasis. So mm-hmm. Do these ones look like they're ones in stasis?
I think these will be the level 2 subjects since there's 10 of them here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a look at them and you are pretty sure that they are alive, but they look very sick. Their skin is discolored. They have strange growths all over their bodies. Yeah, and their bones are not what's it called? They're crooked. They each look pretty bad.
Then I say we leave them here for now. We'll come back to them later.
Okay. This place creeps me out.
Yes, I'd like to learn more of these machines.
Which machine?
The tanks.
What do you want to do with the tank?
I was gonna do it like after the end. I'm implying because my whole xenobiology thing. I'm interested in these things being used to keep creatures alive.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was thinking you wanted to do something immediately. Already.
I don't know. Later. What other way out of the room was there? Or is there only the way in?
There's only one way in, and the corridor continues to the south. And there's one room on this level you haven't explored yet.
Okay.
Aside from that, the corridor continues with staircases which lead further down.
Yeah, head down and check the other room.
Yep.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. You head into the upper room and you see the following. From the layout, it looks exactly like the room you were just in. Again, here are 10 tanks on the walls, 5 to your left, 5 to your right. But these ones are vacated. Basically, the glass is raised so that you could like stand in the tank or come out of it. One of the tanks lies destroyed on the ground, and basically the glass is broken and it's dented and rusted. And I think you all can figure out which number and letter combination is on that one. There is the Warforged in the room, which asks you for the password.
Dragon stupid face.
Correct. And on the ground, there's a fresh corpse looking much like one of those you just saw in the other room in stasis.
Like high fresh, like literally like still wet.
Exactly, yeah. It's essentially still bleeding.
Oh.
The Warforged did its job.
Yeah, yeah. Looking at it, you also see that there's blood on the Warforged.
I'm so glad we turned those on.
Yeah.
Yes, but why is he just woken up? Did we do that?
Oh, good question.
We didn't. It was the Warforged.
But why would the Warforged wake up the people in the tanks?
Well, maybe it didn't. Maybe we just it was just on out here on its own.
Yeah, to clarify a bit, I think your characters would notice that this room... Oh, yeah, and I forgot something about them. This room doesn't look clean like the other laboratory you came just out of. This room looks like it's been used for years. There's dirt on the ground and dust. And also, which I forgot to mention, on the far wall, there's also this small machine set into the wall, which is this metal nozzle. This one is crusted with some kind of pink goo. And on the floor in front of this small machine, there are small stone statuettes.
I reach for the stones.
Alrighty, yeah, you have a look. And those are just like really crude stone carvings of people.
Oh.
They were like under this nozzle with the pink goo.
Exactly, yeah.
Do any of them look like they've had the pink goo on them?
Yeah, a few. There are some sprinkles of a bit of goo, yeah.
Okay.
Can I investigate the goo?
Yes. How do you do this?
Using my alchemical kit, trying to work out what sort of chemicals make it up.
Ah, cool, yeah. Make a check for this.
17 plus 7.
Yeah, perfect. You run a quick analysis of the goo, and you find out it's an extremely nutritious paste.
Ugh.
Just like a spoonful of it would like be an entire meal.
I guess they've been feeding them this.
Or turning them into it.
Doesn't look very good.
It does the job.
It smells of elderberry.
I'm going to try it.
There's a small button next to this strange nozzle contraption. You hit the button and the goo comes flowing out of the nozzle.
I'm just going to take a bit and lick my finger.
Yeah, you try the goo. and mm-hmm. it's just it tastes not good. It's really strong. It's like you get punched in the face by flavor, essentially, like on your tongue.
I'm gonna grab my water skin and have a big drink of water. It's like.
Could I do like a history check or investigation check to find out, with all these test subjects that are here, how come we don't see any extra bodies of those? Like, could they be turning them into this goose?
Okay, so you want to roll an investigation check?
Yes.
Nate, do it.
That is a 17.
Okay, so you take in the room, and what you figure is going from footprints in the dirt and the general shape of everything in this chamber that's been in use for years. There's coming and going in here, like many people are accessing this nozzle to collect goo and then leave again. And apparently they revere this food dispenser by putting down these small statuettes, like maybe presents or something, which could be placed there. Yeah, aside from that, the tank on the ground, which is broken, obviously has the number and combination, which I previously mentioned. You connect it to the famous war hero, Jack Powell. 4415-XT. The other tanks have similar numbers, which go from 4410 to 4420, essentially. Yeah, and this is what you can gather.
Yikes.
I didn't get poisoned, but it's disgusting.
So you might have a part of him inside of you now.
Oh, can I roll a medicine check on myself?
Yes.
Ah, never mind. That's just natural 1+3. So, oopsie. I feel really bad.
Yeah, you think you're developing some kind of growth there somewhere on your body.
I'm gonna die. Oh, God. I'm seconds away from casting healing myself.
Is that an okay place to stop, do you think?
Yeah, I was just about to say, this is, I think, where we will end today's session.
Dun, dun, dun.
And we will continue next time, and I think we will end this pretty quickly. We are coming up to the grand finale.
Ooh, yes. Exciting.
Yeah.
I need new dice, they keep betraying me.
So yeah, I would say prepare for combat next time. Get your ducks in a row, and you might survive.
Yeah, to be fair, I've had all my combat dice waiting, expecting to fight more than.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I've had them all laid out, but I've just been doing really badly.
So next, so I guess we're playing again tomorrow, or when are we playing again?
I can't tomorrow. I have already another session, but I mean, if
cancel it, not yet.
As you said, that was brilliant. I'm going to have to shoot on, though.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Speak soon. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
We'll talk in chat. See you.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, Chris.
No problem.
Cheers.
See you guys.
Adios.